Hi, I'm Brian, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Brian, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Dan. We have a lot of fun here at Deck the Hallmark. We don't joke about the troops, but I do despise Hallmark Christmas movies. And this is the
Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Deck the Hallmark, it's his podcast. Brandon and friends host his podcast.
We hope you like this jolly podcast.
Who's this guy?
Oh, no one for anybody else to see. That was just for you boys.
Oh, wow.
Let's not talk about it.
I tried to get the disclaimer out of the way early today, Brian.
Yeah.
Because we do love the troops.
Yes.
Who doesn't? Might be tough to not make fun of the troops a little bit.
We'll see.
Not the actual troops.
Not real ones, but the troops in this film.
Sure.
Yeah. The troopers who went through this film.
Troopers. This
film. Yeah.
We're all troopers.
Yeah.
I think today.
Let's not minimize it.
No, I didn't
Brandon
say
Brandon said we're all troops.
No.
I think you heard what Brandon said. He compared what he does here at the studio.
Yep.
Nope.
That's what I heard.
It's a big nope for me.
I don't even have headphones on. That's what I heard.
That's right. It was in my in-ear. That's for sure. Trace wrote that script. We talked about it in show prep. That's right.
No, he said it.
He did.
Don't
you forget it. Guys, how are we today on a Thursday in November?
Oh, it's great.
It's good, man. It was 80 degrees on Tuesday, so we're living it. We're living it right here.
It's just a confusing time. Mm-hmm. Anybody else got some Christmas stuff up yet or no? Just me?
No, just you. You don't have anything up, do you, Harold?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I had to think about it.
Are you thinking about it?
I'm thinking. Well, I took down the fall leaves I have on the mantle.
Nice.
I'm getting kind of tired of them.
Because fall's over.
Yeah, fall's done. We're done.
Yeah, it's like a 4-week season.
Yeah, that's it.
What day was that I was driving by your house and you were starting to put...
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. That's before Halloween.
Yeah, but
Halloween
I didn't light it up until after.
And my window was down and I said, please tell me you're not doing this right now.
And what did I say?
You said, well, not on the roof.
I'm not going to turn it on.
You're just getting ready.
Just slowly sprinkling some stuff out there.
Day after Thanksgiving, I'll be getting ready too. That's the day.
Not enough time.
All you got to do is decorate the tree, you know.
It's not enough time.
All right.
What if you had more time with it? Have you ever thought, what if? I know you have your hard and fast rules, and I used to be the same way, Dan. And then I just asked this crazy question. What if?
We do this every year.
Every week
almost.
If
you highlight a whole page, nothing is highlighted. What if you made it year-round? What if you put up your decorations year-round? Why don't you do that?
Because it's not the Christmas season. I decided.
Okay. You decided it wasn't Christmas season, just like you decided it is Christmas season.
Well, there are things that I do, and there's things that I don't do.
That's right. You have rules.
I have rules.
Okay.
Yes.
Glad we had that talk.
But aren't rules meant to be broken and changed?
No as rules. Look, at Outback Steakhouse,
why are you so
no
stuck
rules.
In your ways? Here's the thing. Stuck in your ways. You're like, nothing should ever change. Everything is perfect the way that it is. That's what I'm hearing.
No.
I'm hearing from you because this is the way that it's always been in Dan's house.
No.
This is the way that it needs to always be.
It's very hard
Nuff
to carve
you,
out.
You never change.
Nuff you never change.
Just think
just
about
try
it.
To get like getting you to order a new wing flavor is nothing ever changes.
Yeah. Okay, here's can I just
me starting Christmas after Thanksgiving is a tradition held by most of the country.
Right. And my thing is what if it wasn't?
But I'm not a stick in the mud.
Do you know how many things have been traditions
after Thanksgiving?
Do you know how many things have been traditions in this country that I don't know, maybe they shouldn't have been? Do history teacher? Do you want me to go through some things? Or you got the idea?
Comparing me decorating my tree the day after Thanksgiving to like American atrocities?
Yeah. Somebody has to.
Somebody's got to do it.
You said you were the troops, and now it's getting worse.
I'm the troop of Christmas.
I said I was a trooper.
You're a Christmas trooper.
I'm a Christmas trooper.
He's Brandon Gray. A Hallmark Daddy Christmas Trooper.
Exactly Christmas right. Trooper's a good name.
That's Christmas exactly Trooper's right. A great name. That's all I'm live. After Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the only way to do it.
I just don't. Just get off it. You're just get off it is all I'm trying to say. Can you? Christmas bedtime stories. You guys ready to talk about it? Mm-hmm. Christmas bedtime stories originally aired at 10 p.m. Eastern.
You know, most people spend the beginning of their show like being like, rate and review us, or join the join the Bramble Jam Plus, or the Greenville's great. We argue about when to put up Christmas decorations, and that's why
constantly
we aren't making a lot of money.
But also rate and review us.
Please, that's if you it. Don't mind.
Let us know.
BrambleJamPlus.com.
Here's what we're going to do. Can
join.
I'm going to open this up for a week. People can review and let us know whether or not it's okay to put up Christmas stuff before Thanksgiving.
No one said it's not okay.
You have. You, that's the point you're making. And whoever wins, if we get more reviews that it is okay, Dan, you have to.
No.
Put up something Christmassy.
He's going to something. Anything.
Anything. Put up something on your friggin' porch.
Put your Christmas butts out, Trey.
No, that's not mine. Rig's not even allowed at my house.
All right. October 29th, 2022 is when this got released, and it went a little something like this. The movie kicks off with a country song and a shot of troops. America, baby! We meet Danielle. She plans things on a military base. She is currently planning the toy drive. Is it Toys for Tots? No, yes, don't. No.
We would never.
Don't.
We have a lot of fun here.
Don't.
We would never even call something Toys for Tots that isn't Toys for Tots.
We see her talking to a guy. His name is Pierce. He is clearly into her. Honestly, I'm not sure if she's into him currently. We'll find out. At home, we find out that Danielle has a daughter, and she's sad because the father-daughter dance is coming up, and her father is no longer with them. She is starting to like forget stuff that she has heard about her dad. Her dad's name was Colby. And so Danielle, is like, yeah, sometimes I forget things too. It's been a few years, right? It's been a few years.
Been a while.
Tree.
Danielle is decorating the Christmas tree, and she's sad that she can't find an ornament that Colby made her. It's been missing for a few years.
It's been.
And she's like, where is this ornament? Before putting her daughter to bed, she tells her a story, a bedtime story, a Christmas bedtime story about how she and Colby first met. They show they met at like a Christmas tree lighting ceremony that goes wrong. She goes up on stage. She tells bad jokes. He says, we got it. And they bond over bad jokes and lights. And he invites her to go out for hot chocolates, and her daughter falls asleep. Pierce is also was in the story, so they've known Pierce. Pierce was a friend of Colby's. More on that to come. So the daughter falls asleep. Pierce says, hey, Danielle, got some stuff on my mind, and that thing on my mind is you, baby girl. He proposes to her, and he's
smooth.
Thank you.
If he had said that, that would have been
some things on my mind.
They'd have never broken up.
No, of course not.
They break
Spoiler
up.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, good Lord. He proposes. He's pumped about this. Danielle is like, thank you for the invitation to marry you. I am going to check with my doctor, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. So she does check with her daughter, and her daughter's like, cool, I like Pierce, neat. It's time to go to bed again. Another day, another dollar. And she's like, tell me more stories about my dad. And so they talk about how Colby proposed to her. There was a dog. There was a bell. There was a whole bunch of stuff. But ultimately, he proposes. And that ornament, remember the ornaments?
Yes.
That's been missing. It turns up the next day under the couch.
Looks like some Christmas breakup magic is in the air.
So she's like,
the best kind.
The very rare Christmas breakup magic.
Uh-huh. She's like, this is weird. I've been thinking about where this bell is, and now this bell's turning up right after I get engaged to another guy. Coincidence?
Probably.
I don't know. Danielle's talking to Pierce about, stuff and how she's just kind of feeling weird and wants to, figure out, like, she's starting to think about Colby again and, like, what's going on, all that good stuff. The next night, It's bedtime story again. We get the wedding. It's a Christmas wedding. And then the next day, speaking of weddings, guess who she runs into? The
troops.
No. The flower girl from the wedding.
Oh my gosh. What a Christmas magic coincidence.
Is it another just coincidence? I tell a story about the wedding, and then the next day I see someone that was in the wedding.
Strange things are happening to me.
That's exactly right. So then she tells a story about her birth next, and we learn that she was born right in the middle of a surprise snowstorm. You know, the snowstorms, they sneak up. They say, don't tell anybody, but I'm coming. Don't tell anyone. Wouldn't you know it, the next day, there's a snowstorm.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Uh-huh. At Audrey, the daughter's birthday, she envisions, Pierce walks up with the cake and she sees Colby's face. This is concerning to her. This is problematic. Could it be she's not ready to get married? I don't know. So Danielle starts kind of getting a feeling like, what if my husband's not dead? What if
I'm starting to get that feeling?
Or what if, you know, I just want some answers. I want closure. She hasn't really gotten closure because Colby's body was never found. And so she goes to the commander on base and says, hey, I want questions. And
you
he's
want questions?
I want answers.
I want questions.
I want answers.
You can't handle the questions.
Yeah, that's right. And he's like, listen, the body that we pretty much know what happened. Like, he was close to water or something. I don't know. He's never recovered, but he's dead. So just get over it. He's a lot nicer about it. And he tells Danielle to focus on moving forward and her family and Christmas. And she says, you know what? That was exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you. It's bedtime again. And she goes to sleep. And after that, she's talking to another wife who is also widowed. And she talks about Colby and telling her what's going on in life and all that stuff. And so she keeps talking about her. And she finds a like something that Colby wrote, basically saying to follow your hearts. So is that another sign? I don't know. Danielle meets with Pierce and they kind of talk through things, and Pierce finally kind of gets the point, gets kind of what's going on here, and is like, hey, maybe we shouldn't yet on this regard. Maybe not, might not be the best thing. And so Danielle is talking to her daughter and is like, thanks for letting me talk to you about your father over the past few weeks. It's been really great. They're going to go to the father-daughter dance together. And she gets news. She hears news on the old news machine, there has been a raid, and they got a bunch of prisoners out of
Yemen.
They got these prisoners and they got them home. So she calls up that guy again, the commander.
That's right.
And is like, hey, is there any way that I'm not saying he's alive.
Spitballing here.
But is there anybody in there that maybe knows where he is? And he's like, everybody that was in that place that we raided was a foreigner. No American there.
We know it for a fact.
If we knew, if we had any inkling, we would have told somebody. But no, all foreigners, I'd put my life on the line for this. And so she's like, okay. All right. So it's time for the dance. And she is kind of, they start doing at the father-daughter dance, the fathers and the daughters get to start dancing. And so she leaves, she goes to the bathroom, and she walks out and she sees on the tree a bell that reminds her of her bell ornament.
Yeah.
And then she looks, oh, she's like, oh my gosh. She looks and she sees a troop.
Yes. A soldier.
A soldier.
A trooper.
Outside, but she can only see his back, but she knows. She says, Colby? And he's like, does a whole slow turn. They kiss. They go into the dance. He sees his daughter for the first time
In, yeah. No. Since she was like four or five.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he left when she was not quite
and
five.
So, and so they hug, they dance, they're all dancing together. They go home and the daughter says, "Daddy, can you tell me a bedtime story tonight?" And he says, "You betcha." Once upon a time, it pulls back and we all celebrate. And that, my friends, was Christmas Bedtime Stories.
We did it.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to break this movie down and hopefully not offend anybody. Here on Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the
Hi, everybody. Dan, can you please, guys, stop.
Rook to bad movie 7.
Classic movie.
There are so many cans. How are there so many cans over here?
This is why
we've been here
somebody.
For like 5 minutes.
No, these are from the last recording.
Oh, okay. We're talking about Christmas bedtime.
In your office. Yeah. The glass emporium that you're running by the printer.
It's a museum.
So impressive.
I'm working on a display.
There are 12, there are 1 to 2 dozen glasses. That are there,
you
dirty.
You don't judge an artist mid-art.
Right.
That's true. That goes for this.
I didn't realize that was
but
art.
This is all aluminum. This is glass. If you would like it for your collection, I can give it to
yes,
you.
Yes, that'd be great.
And it's green. So
let's talk about Christmas Bedtime Stories, the second Movies and Mysteries movie of the year. Yes? Yes. So. Let's break it down. 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Hold off on the warm milk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brian,
yep.
Did you hold off on the warm milk? What do you think about this one?
Of course. I followed the rules. Yep. I'm a rule follower. No warm milk for me. And so when we did our season 5 kickoff, this movie was one of my lowest that I was not looking forward to because I feared the sads, like real sads. Like they were going to really, you know, jam the sads in. And I feared that there wouldn't be closure. And that there would be some, not manipulation, but
manipulation.
I was a little worried about how this was going to go down. And there was a question: is he missing? Is he gone? And we all agreed we did not wish anybody to not come back, but we all kind of wished he wasn't coming back.
Sure.
And
during the preview show,
During the preview show,
you specifically said you wished a troop would be dead.
In this scenario, I thought that we really got the context right. Yeah, so go back and listen to that if you think this is offensive. I feared he would come back and, my fear was realized. I did not enjoy this movie. I did not have a good time watching this movie. The acting was really good. I thought it was just like an unfortunate story. It was like real, it was almost like a torture chamber for me personally watching this, like, the sad levers, just one after the other. Like everything, it was just like, oh, let's, so we got to show somebody dealing with, no closure and not knowing what's going on during the holidays, being sad, having somebody, a new relationship, pull that down. Okay, the kid, from the kid perspective, how's the kid feeling? Being a parent, having a kid in this situation, pull that lever down at the same time. And it's just all this stuff. And I'm just like, this doesn't feel good. This isn't like a sad bring you down and we're going to uplift you at the end. I knew at the end what was going to happen, unfortunately, and it did. And I was like, I wish it didn't happen that way. And I wish they did it a different way. I wish it was more about closure, dealing with grief, finding a group that can support you in that situation. And it just didn't go that direction. And hug your kids tight and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
Real uplifting episode and hot take there, bro.
Thank you.
By and large, I am with Brian on this one. Not my favorite type of movie. The highlights, Erin Cahill, I thought she crushed. This was a great performance by her. Always good to see our boy Steve Lund. Love that guy. Good to see him. I thought the girl did a really quality job as well. I do think that there's like good parts of this movie, and I think that done in a way that feels less manipulative for the viewer. I think there are things that could be done. I'm not smart enough to figure out what those things are, but like if I take a step back and look at the elements of the movie, I do think that there's something here. But unfortunately for me, it just didn't quite connect. I you know, there has to be a way for a movie like this. I feel like the only people that are like connecting with this movie are like a very specific person that had like thought that they lost somebody and they didn't. Mm-hmm. Like that's a very specific person that I think connects with this movie. And so if that's you and this worked for you, connected with you, then wonderful. I think the rest of us just kind of left going, why? Like, we're not really sure how much of the sign, like what was the deal with the signs? Like we still have questions, which is, you know, tough. So overall, not my jam, but the performances were wonderful. And so kudos to the people that put in the work. Dano?
I am offended on behalf of the troops, on behalf of parents, on behalf of children, I'm offended on behalf of everyone. I couldn't believe what I was watching. From the opening 20 minutes, it is apparent that this guy is still alive. And the manipulation at play here that throws every character under the bus, save for the guy who's a POW, it is just inexcusable. I like, you know, if you look at like the integrity of Two Turtle Doves about losing someone and what that means, like this is the other side of that coin entirely. I assume they thought they could make it all right by bringing someone back from the dead. Poor Steve Lund. Can somebody grab him like a sour candy, a Diet Coke, and a funny movie? Like, can somebody do that? The guy has great comedic chops, and we're slugging him with like a Mrs. Miracle Christmas, Foster Care, Dead Troops, Sorry, Bad Luck, Brian. Like, you don't get any, like, get the guy a role. Erin Cahill is put in an impossible spot here. She is acting her heart out. She gives some really good, there's some scenes where she really carries this film, and it's unfortunate that she's doing it for a cause that is so incredibly manipulative. When I saw Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor 20 plus years ago with Josh Hartnett and Kate Beckinsale and Ben Affleck, and it had this weird love triangle where she loves one of them and he goes off to war and they think he's dead, and she falls in love with the other one and he comes back. I, as a teenager, thought that was the most manipulative thing I'd ever seen. The Hallmark said, hold my beer. They took Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor and they were like, we can make it more manipulative. We can out Michael Bay on the not no integrity front. And that is an impressive feat. Tip of the cap there. Worst of the year. Never want to see it again under any circumstances. Back to you, Brian.
Let's get to all the feels part. Shall we talk about one of those movie gave us those feels? Uplifting ones, hopefully. We'll find out. Bry Guy?
So I thought I had feels that were abruptly, like, they were cut. Like, one of the scenes that was very heartfelt, that they would just cut very abruptly. And so the scene where they were giving each other their first Christmas gifts, she gave him, I forget what she gave him, but he gave her the framed picture, I believe it was. Sure. And I thought, my first thought was, that's so sweet. They gave each other a very simple, heartfelt gift, and that's enough. And that was great. And then he gets up and gives her a puppy. And I'm like, okay, this guy, fine, that's great. And then he goes, one more second. And then he proposes to her, gives her an engagement ring. So it was just a weird scene because I went from feeling like, boy, that is genuinely a great relationship and a great scene where the simplicity of the gifts, and then it went to, you know, puppy and an engagement. So my feelings on that shifted a little. Still great gifts. I mean, a puppy and an engagement ring, great gifts. And then I thought that I thought it was like universally understood that a Christmas time troop homecoming was a big event. And so my feels,
this was, is the wait one of the century, right? So, but do it now.
I had it was like an anticlimactic feels. I'm like, you know, it's him. So like the feels were, I had no feels about him turning around and showing up, but it was sort of like, this should be a big event. Like everybody should, they should be
going nuts. Tears everywhere.
He should be coming out, walking off the plane, like to a crowd of 1,000 people. Like
it would make the news. He's been going for 3 years.
On Christmas, he's home for the father daughter dance. Like, just missed opportunity there. I felt so much, you know.
The best troop movie, and I think Brian would even agree with me here, is Holiday for Heroes, Mark Blucas. Would you agree with me there, Brian?
I love Holiday
and
for Heroes.
And at the end of Holiday for Heroes, he brings home all the troops. He brings home all the troops from that town active, inactive, honorably, dishonorably, whatever. Like, he brings them all home. And that scene is so manipulative, but it works because everyone is on board with, oh my gosh, all the troops are home. Yeah. This guy's been in a prison for 3 years. Mm-hmm. He shows up back in his hometown to his daughter that hasn't seen him and thinks he's dead, to his wife who hasn't seen him and thinks he's dead. And no one could possibly care less.
Didn't even recognize him in the hallway.
Like, they could not care any less about this. Yeah. It's unbelievable and inexcusable.
Mm-hmm. So the girl, the little girl, keeps asking for bedtime stories. And I got feels because over the past week or so, my children have been asking for a bedtime story, a particular one. When's it going to be Christmas again? It's on sale now. DeckTheHallmark.com/Christmas book. You can get your copy.
That's autographed.
Autographed, or you can buy it on Amazon. It's on Prime now, so you can go and get that in two quick days. And I think that's going to give you feels all holiday season long. If you, like me, you know, go through just the same books over and over again at night during bedtime. Maybe it's time for a switch up. When's it going to be home? When's it going to be Christmas again? That's my feel.
Back to you.
Back to you.
Thanks, Brandon. I can speak to that secondhand. You know, we wrote this book, and one of my two boys who asked, when's it going to be Christmas again all year long, he sleeps with his copy of the book every night. And so that makes my heart happy. Make your child's heart happy by going to Amazon.com.
That's right.
When's it going to be Christmas again? Leave us a review.
That's it.
Prime, we'll get it there in a couple days. Boom. All in, all done. That's all you need to do. That will give you the more feels with more integrity and the place you need to be this holiday season with your kids reading. When's it going to be Christmas again?
And I even did a trick 'em up last night. I didn't pick the book.
Yeah.
I'll usually like bring in three books and say pick them.
Yep.
But yesterday I didn't even put it out. It's not an option tonight because it starts getting a little, you know, let's read Dad's book again.
Yeah.
And my son said, no, Dad, where's the Christmas book?
That's right.
I said, all right.
That's one of mine right now.
Got
for
a winner
sure.
on your so. Hands there. Yep. The kid's not bad either.
So yes, when the little girl wants a Christmas book read. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back here on Deck the Hallmark on WTTT, the Plain White Tees.
I am most interested in the Plain White Tees as a radio station.
Do they only play? Hey there, Delilah.
And,
that's it?
There's another song. No, the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Not on this station.
Yeah, oh, that's it. Yeah. Just Hey There, Delilah.
Someone just went nuts over that song and they said
that was it.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't have a large radius out there in Tijuana. It's a very small, like, basically.
It's in Mexico. Sure. This is a Plain White Tees radio station in Mexico.
It is a block. Wow. But we get the overnight.
We do get the overnight.
So it's Plain White Tees and us.
And us.
So thank you, the lead singer of Plain White Tees. He runs the station.
There you go. He's in Mexico.
It is time for the Wait What. It's the part of the show we talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what? And I'll start with you, Brian.
So anytime there was an outdoor scene where the ground was visible, the grass was so green. Like, greener than my shirt, greener than these great decorations. It's like they didn't even try to cover it. It was just so, it was borderline impressive, where I want to know how they're getting that grass so green, because I'd like some tips.
Yeah, really? That's good for the wintertime?
Yeah, holy cow.
I mean, unbelievable.
And Danielle there, Erin Cahill's character, promised her daughter, near the beginning of the movie, she was having a rough day, and she promised her extra sprinkles. And she barely gave her any sprinkles on that hot chocolate. And so, like, forget extra. How about some?
Typically, they count them out. Typically, it's a 6 sprinkle a night situation.
But she said
7. She got 12 to 15.
It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
So, I was just, and then when they were doing the tree lighting, he asked how many lights you think are on the tree, and a kid guessed 1,000. He said, close, 2,000. And then he lit up about 17 lights.
Not on your life, bucko. There's no world where there's 2,000 lights on that tree. If there were 3 of those trees, there wouldn't be 2,000 lights.
Yeah. Just keep compounding. The compounding effect. And the last one was when Steve Lund decorated her whole two-story house for her in a collared shirt I think he had a sweater vest under that and then a pea coat on top of that.
Yeah.
And just the whole house, second floor, strung the lights all around the roof line and just not.
Brian was out there the other day in a cardigan doing his.
Not bad. Maybe he's done it a dozen times and it's no big deal.
It's just old hat, I mean.
What's that?
Old hat. It's old hat.
Did you have an old hat?
I have a few, if you don't mind. This one, I know that this was made, said as like a joke, a funny ha-ha. But then it got me thinking. She says that one of her superpowers is stalling. And I shouldn't have stuck on it as long as I did. One could say that I was stalling. But that's the worst superpower. It would be, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not good. That's,
every Zoom meeting that you've all been a part of has a staller in it.
Yeah.
Like someone that is like, we could have been done with this, yeah, but it's still happening.
Yeah.
The staller.
I was just on one of those.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Shout out. I wish I should have recorded it, but there's a bear in this movie that is supposed to used to have Colby's voice in it, and it doesn't anymore. And at one point, what's her name,
Aubrey?
In the movie?
Danielle
is like trying to get it to like fix it, like replacing batteries. It's not working, and she's looking at it, and she's stalling
over here.
And she says, why don't you talk? And then it cuts to just her and for some reason, and I go back and watch
could be
it,
a ghost situation.
Take it to the tape. She says, why don't you talk?
Why can't you just talk?
Why can't you just talk? And we just hear, I don't know what it is. They act as if it's not there. Yeah. I promise you, take it to the tape.
Yes.
Why can't you just talk? I don't know.
We couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, it made me laugh real hard. There is a song in here, and I, you know, picking out royalty-free music is a tough job.
Yeah.
I would argue maybe pick one that doesn't say Together at Christmas over and over and over.
Yeah.
There's a song that literally just says, yeah, Together at Christmas, Together at Christmas, Together at Christmas, Together at Christmas. Together at Christmas, over and over and over again. Pick another one. And I just want to give a shout out to who I can only assume is the nicest captors of all time.
Oh, this is it right here.
Because our guy Colby shows up looking fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah. Refreshed.
Like he hasn't been in captivity for 3 years.
They put him up in a Yemeni verbo. It was unbelievable.
I imagine he got home and he's like, can I call my guy and have him send my mattress from captivity?
There's a pillow menu in camp there.
He looked amazing.
Yeah, can I be honest?
He gained weight
he
somehow.
He looked like he gained a few pounds.
His skin is flawless.
Oh, man.
He's got the haircut like he's been an active dude. Like, I just...
Yeah.
He looks amazing.
Nary a trace that he'd been in a foreign prison camp for 3 years.
So shout out. And one more just really quickly. They would all be crying. They would all be.
Yeah, we did that during the field.
They would all, like, I'd be losing their minds.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'd be on the floor. Yeah. Like, yeah, not able.
Yeah, whimpering, there's like that nary, lip going.
Like not able to talk.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. I think the reason this movie would have been a dumpster fire regardless, but I think the reason that it just stoops to epic levels is because we all know he's coming back. And they all know he's coming back. And they put no time or effort into making that a big deal and made Aaron Cahill's performance just try to carry it. If they had put in the time and made him look a little rugged or ragged or something, like he'd been in a camp starving for 3 years, if they had everybody at the dance go nuts or like cameras there, or if the army had ushered him in, some sort of pomp and circumstance to celebrate this thing that is beyond belief. And instead they did none of it.
Nothing.
And it's just inexcusable. Yeah. Real, real bad.
Yeah, Dano?
Yeah, so Cahill and Steve Lund have what I like to call, I guess, reverse chemistry, because in the first scene of them together, they're like really passionate, staring each other's eyes, kissing, and then they get less and less throughout the movie as she's starting to like feel attachment to what she thinks is her dead husband. But my problem is that for two people who seem to be very in lockstep about life, after he proposes, it seems like they like none of the same things at all. And he doesn't talk like things like where to live and where to go on your honeymoon and if you like the beach or not. Those are things you know about someone probably even before you ask them to marry you. They've been together for 3 years, hanging out for at least that long. There's none of this that makes me believe they could possibly end up together. There is a Christmas Eve military wedding, which, you know, happens, I guess. They flash back, and the first flashback is when she meets him for the first time, and she's wearing what, like, graciously I'll call a wig, and it's got bangs, and then basically they commit to her having bangs for the next 8 years of flashbacks, which is, I mean, you know, you could say, I was young, I went through a you know, like a bangs phase, but for her, bangs phase was a decade. It was a decade of a phase for her, especially when she's wearing what looks like a pretty egregious wig. That was fairly ridiculous. And lastly, she's in the bathroom before the big reveal that her husband is still alive. And in the bathroom, we hear the speaker.
Yeah.
We hear it in the bathroom. Not on the dance floor. She's in the bathroom and the DJ, she's washing her hands, not on the toilet, washing her hands. And the DJ says, all right, it's time to switch things up. It's time for the father-daughter dance. Look, at that point, if you know that your little girl's father is dead, you were there as the only mom at the father-daughter dance, and you're washing your hands and you hear that, you are like quickly,
you're running out, just drying your hands
in there to dance with your daughter. And she hears this and basically acts like a serial killer. Like, she's just like, keep washing. Guess old girl's missing out.
They get through happy birthday twice.
That's right. She'll make extra sprinkles tonight. We'll figure that out. No big deal. And that's incorrigible to me. Like, that's unbelievable.
But also, wasn't the whole thing a father-daughter dance?
Yes.
Why the one slow dance? What were the other ones? We won't label those. Those are whatever you want them to be. But this specific one, To Silent Night, the song about fathers and daughters, is the father-daughter dance. Don't you concern it. It's time for don't What the Hallmark. It. It's time for What the Hallmark. It's where we ask about any questions that we still have that we would like answers to. What are you still wondering about, buddy?
My big question was, did the general know that he could that he was captured the whole time? Please.
No one in the Army knows.
Please tell me it's the Marines. Please tell me that he knew and he just couldn't talk about it because it wasn't confirmed or it had to be kept quiet the whole time until he was home. Please.
The impressive part of all of this is if he didn't know, somehow he broke out of captivity. He escaped and also somehow snuck into the country. Yes. Of the United States.
Nobody knew. Yeah.
Without anyone knowing.
Yeah.
And he went straight to the father-daughter
dance. My big one was how to get there.
Yeah,
how to get there. The Army didn't get him there.
Yeah. Army didn't know.
How to get there?
Army didn't know.
Finally, he was, you know, they were like, Yemen was like, we can't afford you. Like the food, the cost of the food. We got a Temper Lux cloud breeze you're sleeping on.
There was a strike.
That's right. The barista alone. Yeah. We can't afford you anymore. Yeah. We got to get you out of here.
Oh, boy.
I got one more.
I have one, though.
Oh, I thought that was it.
No. It was just doubling down on that.
Please do.
I am still foggy, and I don't feel like there was a good explanation of how the bell ended up under the couch.
No.
Yep.
There's no explanation given for that.
It's terrible.
How?
This is a bad movie.
Unless he was around the whole time. You know,
yes. That's the only explanation that makes sense. He was doing a whole bit here.
Yeah.
It was a big funny ha-ha.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
She says she checked underneath the couch all the time. So unless she's a liar, she didn't check it, and she also hasn't vacuumed in 3 years under her couch. I just don't know. I don't know how it got there. Yeah. I still want to know.
Fair enough. The Christmas tree lot, they show up, and this guy is talking to Steve Lund, and Steve Lund says, we want your biggest tree. And this guy says, we just got a small shipment of what we like to call in the business the king of Christmas trees.
Yeah.
What is that? That's my what the Hallmark. What is it? What kind of tree is it? Dude. Did he get a shipment of bigger Christmas trees?
A small shipment.
A small shipment bigger. Of big Christmas trees? If he's doing a bit, why is he doing a bit with Steve Lund, who's a grown man? Like, we don't set, that's, he'll just be like, yeah, dude, I got some, we just got some really big trees in over here. We just got a small shipment.
It's a small shipment.
Of what we like to call in the business. Not what we in the business like to call, not that. What we like to call in the business, the king of Christmas trees.
There's only 10 of them available in the country.
We and got they're two all of kings.
Them. We got two of them.
What kind of tree is that?
We couldn't for, tell you. We'd have to kill you.
That's right.
We did everybody congratulations. And speaking of killing you, we have a ghost movie coming out tomorrow to review. So buckle up. Saddle up your horses, everybody. We got a movie to review. Can't wait for it. And then
we're done.
More movies are coming.
Oh, okay.
Right. More movies are coming. Just when you think the week's over, more are on the way.
That's right.
Until then, maybe we're the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is the That Sounds Fun podcast. It's produced by Tracy Noah's name. It's recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.